The last week we started this piece in Sif Secha, and we had a chance to see this fascinating perspective that he gave us, a new angle on Chametz Matzah. Rather than seeing Chametz as the symbol of Egyptian technology, they present it at Pat Melach, or the more typical seeing Chametz as pure Ra, seeing Chametz as Zeit Zahara, Sa'ar Shabbisa, which then again, as we saw last week, sort of raises the question of, you know, if Chametz is pure Ra, or symbolizes pure Ra, then why would we, yeah? Ah, right, that's a good point. Lo bedili mineh, right? All year long, as Tosfos points out, the Gemara says later, we are eating Chametz. So that's a good Hagdara. It's a good Nusach. We do forbid Chametz all year long in the Beis HaMikdash. It should be noted. We're talking about from a different angle last week in Ian's year. There is an Issur Chametz all year long, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. So, but if Chametz is Mamish Ra, Chametz stands for the Eitz Sahara, so then it should have been Mamish off limits. Elamai, Shum. Elamai. Elamai, there's something more. So that's what he had quoted from the Maharal. In Vuras Hashem, that Chametz, it doesn't just stand for Yetzara, Chametz also symbolizes natural process. Because Chametz is a process over time, as opposed to what's it called? Chametz is a process over time, as opposed to matzah, which is pisum. Matzah is sudden. Matzah almost gives the impression of being in the moment. And matzah, chametz, symbolizes Ribbono Shel Olam Tanhaga, not bad. It's Ribbono Shel Olam Tanhaga Tivus, as opposed to matzah, which symbolizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tanhaga Nisus. And then he says at the bottom of page Shin Mem Gimel, he says we can use this perspective not only to understand why we're not averse to Chametz, we're not anti-Chametz all year long, it's Pesach. Pesach is a time to focus on Hanhaga Nisus. There's Hanhaga Tivus all year long. Ribbono Shel Olam, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu usually handles us. That's Chametz. Pesach, we're going to focus on the Hanhaga Nisus. He says that also, that can answer another question too. Take a look at Shin Mem Gimel. Another din, which we know well, and another din which has come up over the course of the last block of Ian as well. Shin Mem Gimel, the second page in the packet. L'fi ha'omur yish l'havin madu achiva Torah lechol matzorak b'layla rishon. V'ilus ha'chametz asur kol shivas imeha pesach. There's a major asymmetry in the dinim of chametz and matzah, which is a chametz, as we know well, and have been thinking carefully about the pasuk. Shivas amim sar lo imatzim v'vateichem. Bayra bayimatzim not to own chametz, not to eat chametz. The pasuk is very, very clear. It's for 7 days. And we've been handling the last block, and it's 7 1/4 days. It's 7 days plus Erev Pesach afternoon. The Chametz is Be'erev Tochlu Matzah. There is a famous position of the Gra. The Gra talks about this, and Tziv talks about this. To what extent does the mitzvah of Chametz expand beyond just a kazayis of matzah the first night? To what extent does Chametz, as much Chametz, matzah. Sorry about that. A pretty bad mistake. So to what extent does the mitzvah achilas matzah extend beyond just one kazayis matzah the first night? Number one, does it apply to, you know, is there any aspect to call ha-marbreiz and meshubach the first night? Is it as many kazayisim as I eat, that's going to be, as many kazayisim as I eat, will be part of the mitzvah or not? And more broadly, is there some kiyum in eating matzah all 7 days? The Torah does say, tochlu matzos, for 7 days you eat matzah. But on the other hand, the Torah says, v'erev tochlu matzah. So pashup shad is maybe there's some sort of kiyum eating matzah all 7 days. That's a chiddush. There certainly is no requirement. You are absolutely prohibited from eating chametz all 7 days. You are not required to eat matzah all 7 days. You want to not wash? That was a day. The chiyuv to eat matzah is after the first night. And the question is why? They both have the identical goal. If eating matzah and not eating chametz are both just two sides of the coin, so how come one side falls off after the first night and the other side continues for 7 days? Yassel, you have a question? Yeah, so that's what the Gra and the Tzibah discuss. So maybe there is some sort of kiyum eating matzah throughout the 7 days. Well, it could be. That's a chiddush. Definitely not universally accepted. And even if you accept that, there's definitely no chiyum of matzah. Maybe added kiyum. And maybe added kiyum. There's no chiyum to eat matzah chomayim. If you want to say alviyavo, so you got to wash. But the chiyuv is definitely the first night. So it says, what's takim shah? There's clearly, but you're right, there's definitely some degree of asymmetry. So how do you understand that? The love of halacha, the answer is, well, that's what the chiyuv says. So it's very clear, but Arab tochel matzah, that's the chiyuv. Okay. And it's become very clear, chametz also all 7 days. That's the deal. In terms of it's not a lumdisha question. It's not a lumdisha question. That's what the din is. But the question is, it's a philosophical question. Level of machshava, not level of halacha. Level of machshava, the question is, well, what does this all mean? What are we supposed to do? How is this supposed to work? In the bottom paragraph of Shin Mem Gimel, Yesh Levaris Adar Pia Amar Bahagada. And he says, let's start exploring. The most fundamental source for machshava and matzah is that Mishnah Rav Gamliel. And many of you may have gotten up to already in deeper into Avir Pesachim, and Mishnah that we say in the end of Magid. Matzah zushanu ochem al shema. What's the meaning of eating the matzah? At the end of maybe we'll explore this more later in the week. But there's a lot of elements to Sipur Tiyas Mitzrayim, a lot of facets to Sipur Tiyas Mitzrayim that we're makayim over the course of the latter part of the Magid. And one of them is it's not enough to talk about it. We actually have to relate the story to the audiovisual aids. You don't have a board, you don't write things on the whiteboard, but you have audiovisual aids, you have props. There's Mana Mikshu, you have Karban Pesach, even nowadays we have Matzah Maror. And Rabbi Gamliel says, in order to makayim Pashas, in order to makayim Sipur Tiyas Mitzrayim, you could have argued this in order to Mekayim Matzah Amar. Pashas Amar to Mekayim Sipur Tiyas Mitzrayim, it's not enough to talk, you have to relate the words to the audiovisual aids. You have to explain how the story relates to the Mitzvah Halayla. So that's what we do near the end of Sipur Tiyas Mitzrayim, near the end of Magid. So they say, Matzah Zushan Ochlan Ashum, to what are you in the Matzah for? Ashum, so his speak that Seikam is Avoseni Lahachamitz. Our great-great-grandparents' dough didn't have the chance to rise. Now, just stop for a moment, before we get into the detail that he's raising, think about the following. Maybe you thought about it in the past, and maybe you'll think about it for the first time this year. This is an essential part of Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah of Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim, of Vigadol Vincha, is Matzah, Pesach Matzah Mor, to explain what the story has to do with the mitzvah Laila. If you think about it for a moment, they're not that exciting. By which I mean, they don't seem so central. I mean, Maror is about Meir was high over the same time. Okay, Maror is about the Koshi Hashiva. That's a pretty central part of the story. But I don't know, Pesach and Matzah. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu jumped over the houses. Like, what's the great? That's like one detail there. And a thousand details, tens of thousands of details in the story. Why that one detail? Or Matzazu, Nashalhistik Batekam Shabbosein Lahachim. They didn't have a chance to, the dough didn't have a chance to rise. Okay. I mean, it's a colorful detail. Well, honestly, why does it matter so much? There are thousands of details you could have commemorated. What's the great significance? What's the great depth? Oh, Hashem jumped over the houses. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. Everything was HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. We had to leave so quickly, we didn't have a chance. I mean, so it's like, you know, colorful. Oh, it's a nice memory. But this is more than just, you know, nostalgia. This is more than just his memorabilia. So what's going on? L'chaorah, it's again, Marah, that's half the story. Marah is that for decades, for centuries, it was terrible. The first galus. But Pesach and Matzah by Geula, like, why is that? Why not have something that looks like the rising sun? Because we left in the morning. Like, I don't know. Eat a Japanese flag. I don't know. Like, there are 1,001 details. So it has to be L'chaorah, and he's going to go on to say in the next page that we talk about the matzah. The Zohar speaks about the matzah as the food of Emunah, Nahama de Mehemenusa, the bread of Emunah. It's not just that we're remembering particular details of the story, it's that we're highlighting certain Emunah lessons that emerge from the story. Like we have seen, we've already discussed the Ramban and the Bo. We learned Tarshas Zal. It says, Zeichat Tzias Mitzrayim is not just to remember a sense of belonging and remember our history. The point of this, remembering this history, is that this piece of our history also taught us key lessons in Emunah. Kadosh Baruch Hu was very obvious at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're meant to remember the story, helps remember those Ikari Emunah. So presumably we're looking not just for these are details in the story, but we're looking to like what are the Ikari Emunah. So Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu jumps over the houses, so that's not just a colorful visual. What it means, presumably, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's it's Hashkacha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not just stuff happened. The fact that Hashem jumps over the houses means there was personalized attention to each one. You get what's coming to you, and you get what's coming to you, and you get what's coming to you. And you did a mitzvah, that's going to change your outcome. That's very significant. You come Pesach, you remember Hashkacha Pratis. Remember, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not just sort of broad strokes impressionistic. He's running the whole universe, and he's not going to do no. Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the whole universe. He's transcendent. At the same time, he's also imminent. At the same time, he's also involved with you, and with you, and with me, and with him, and with her. Everyone. Hashkacha Pratis. That's a biggie sort. And that you sort of comes up all the time, but it was particularly evident in the Pasach HaBat HaBasein Mitzrayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, each house got what was coming to it. Oh, that's a biggie sodom. That's Pesach. Pesach, Shai Basein HaOchlim, Bizmas Management, Shai Kaim, Al Shema Shepasach. Wow, okay. That was a detail of the story that taught a fantastically important and central idea of Emunah. And now how about Matzah? Now that we appreciate what it is that we're looking for and what we're looking at. Take a look at the bottom of page Shin Mem Gimel. Matzah zu shanokho al-shumo zahistik and take them shabbasein l'hachamit. The dough didn't have time to rise. But Rosh Baruch Hu said, you got to leave now. Who goes matzos below chametz? They bake the dough. They had to leave Mitzrayim. They were still matzos, not kilo chametz. Did not rise. Ki gorashumi Mitzrayim. They were gorashumi Mitzrayim. We were chased out of Mitzrayim. That's interesting. And it's a funny word. Im Cain said, "Lefi hapshat, mitzvah hamatzah balas kilonus hagula shoschil v'kaf shegurashnu mitzrayim." The point of matzah is to remind us that the gula began without being chased out of Mitzrayim. Reishisa b'leil haPesach, and really began the night before. V'chei mitzvasa be'erev harishon shel Pesach. So what does that mean? Turn the page. Let's dig a little more. Ka'amur ha-gerush mi-mitzrayim shebo Hashem Yisbarach levada v'mahalach al-tivi HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly in a al-tivi is supernatural, above nature. V'mahalach in a supernatural approach hechriach b'pis omuyus es ha-mitzim l'garish es Yisrael k'negi. That's the key. the matzah, yeah, they didn't have time for the dough to rise. Isvas, I mean, it's a colorful detail. Oh, you remember, tell your grandkids. But who cares? No. The point is that it was in that moment. It was in that moment. So that captures two things. Number one, he makes the point that captures going back to the idea of being developing the chametz and matzah. The fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu made us leave right that moment highlights the supernatural hanhaga nisim gluim that were involved. I would add, though, and we'll close with this for today, and I'll mention we'll finish the piece next time. And there is an element of this that's relevant even without hanhaga nisim, even without nisim gluim. The Gemara makes a comment that if you learn Sefer Shmuel, as some of us Baruch Hashem have done recently, so Shaul HaMelech, the first Jewish king, so he finds, royalty finds him very unexpectedly. Remember the story in Sefer Shmuel, Shaul's family is looking for some lost donkeys. So what do you do when you lose something? Find my iPhone, right? Nowadays, you try to do when you do something, you try to reconstruct. Where was I last? When was the last time I had it? And what did I do? Where did I go? That they used to do in the old days also. But 3,000 years ago, if that didn't work, so then you went to plan B, which was find yourself a navi and ask him, where are my lost donkeys? So Shaul comes to find Shmuel, and he comes to Ramah, looking for the, he starts asking where's the tzofeh, where's the chozeh, where's the navi, and the psukim say he meets this bunch of girls. That's who he meets. He walks into town, and he asks them where can I find the navi, and they give him this like incredibly roundabout. Well, if you go over there, then you'll find it because he's over there. So if you go over there, then you'll find it because that's where he is because he's over there. So Chazal comment. Shaul was a very tall, dark, and handsome. He's a very handsome guy. And this group of girls meet him, and they wanted a few extra seconds to gaze upon his handsomeness. So they are sort of just talking, because they wanted to cherish the moment. They didn't realize that to them, at that point, he was just a handsome guy. They didn't realize he was about to become Melech Yisrael also. But the Gemara comments, that was their kavana, was he's this really good-looking guy. So let's talk to him for a few extra seconds. Why does the Tanakh record that? What? Okay, that's why they spoke to him like that. But why is that? Where is the Nevuah Shehutzrach Lodor? So why do we need to know that's the way things played out?
Maybe it contributes to the picture of him being a humble individual, because it shows that he couldn't have been focused on attracted attention, but he tried not to.
Interesting. So Shura is suggesting that you get more of this picture that we've heard before, we're going to hear again. That he was such a handsome guy, that he was, everyone wanted to look at him, everyone wanted to be with him, and he could have played it up. At this point in his life, he was an incredible honor. So there's the girl's motivate angle, there's Shaul's angle, he was nechbal akel, and then there's Rabban Shalom's angle. The Gemara says that Ein Malchus Nogas Bechaver Tafilu Kamo Nima. Gemara says, you know what? You see in terms of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs things, you see something about Shaul's Midos? And in terms of what we learn about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs things, and there was a plan for when Shaul become king, it was going to happen exactly on time. A lot of times, the Gemara Yuma says, that we feel that I didn't get it because he did get it. There was only one spot left. There was only one bag of chips left. There was only one slot to fill for a job. There was only one whatever, and I missed out because he got. If they wouldn't have accepted him, they would have accepted me. If he wouldn't have gotten there first, I would have gotten it. if he wouldn't have negotiated better, it would have been available for you. Whatever, fill in the blanks. So a lot of times we feel like that. I missed that because of him. And the Gemara says that that's a very natural reaction. But the truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. We could have both. He could have seen that we both would have enjoyed it, because we would neither enjoy it, or I would, or he would. And my not getting is because I wasn't supposed to get, not because he did get. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have worked out we would both get. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have worked out we would neither get. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that I wasn't going to get, and that he would get. But no one touches what's meant for someone else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to get the money. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have funneled you the money somehow. Which is, for a mom, and logical, but definitely not our natural gut reaction. And the Gemara says, the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world with precision is expressed in Ein Adam Nogeh B'Muchan L'Chaveir Kriyuchim Kulimimun. No one touches what's meant for someone else, even a hair's breadth. And Ein Malchus Nogas B'Chavetah. No government, no kingship encroaches on another one. If Shaul was supposed to have become king earlier, he would become king later. He became king exactly when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to become king. So, and that's why the Gemara suggests, in terms of learning about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the lesson in hearing the way those girls are talking to Shaul is, yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that Shaul had Bechira Chavshus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that the people that he would bump into first will be a group that would take 10 seconds, 15 seconds to give him directions instead of 2 seconds to give him directions. So that offset him, that gave him an extra lag of 13 seconds in terms of getting to Shmuel. So that things would happen exactly on time. Exactly on time by the divine timetable. It's exactly as it's supposed to be. So that might be an additional layer. Rabbi Chaim Friedlander is saying the idea of matzah, the sort of larger lesson of matzah, Yigorshu Mitzrayim, what's the great significance of we didn't have a chance for the matzah to rise? It's to highlight the supernatural aspect, the in the moment, the no process right away. I would add maybe another angle, which is this. Which is, it highlights the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim exactly when he wanted to. Which is most obvious when things are supernatural, most obvious when it's Nisim Gluim with Hanhagat Nisus. But the truth is, Shaul becoming king was Hanhagat Tivus. He wasn't flying through the air. He was looking for his lost donkeys, and he shows up, and he meets Shmuel. When Shmuel actually gets the Nevuah that this is the man to be king, obviously that is Nevuah is supernatural. But the process of Shaul getting to Shmuel was a natural process. And even in a natural process, even in his everyday living, and it's true for our everyday living also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is working things with precision. It doesn't necessarily mean that things happen precisely on the schedule that we had in mind. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't check with us to see what our plan was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have a plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his plan. And things play out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dishing out exactly to the T. So that may be again a second layer in the meaningfulness of matzah, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out exactly. He was supposed to come out of Mitzrayim at this moment. It wasn't going to be another half hour. It was going to be now, right now. To the extent that if we couldn't have regular bread, we're going to have to eat matzah. So it would be. And so the matzah represents the on-time precision. It has to happen right now. Whether that corresponds to the Hanhaganesis or it corresponds to the both Pesach and Matzah have to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha Pratis. Pesach is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha Pratis in terms of each person gets something individual, and Matzah is the precision with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to each one. So these are big ideas, and hopefully also, like I said, it gets us also just thinking about taking Magid more seriously. Like we're so used to Pesach Matzah Mar, and perhaps also Pesach Matzah Mar suffer from being at the end of Magid. So everyone's Divrei Torah ready, where it said at the beginning, Sometimes at this point we're like, oh, okay, everyone's hungry, that's so great. That's mamish, the most important part. That's where the action is. And that's where the action is halachically, in terms of the mitzvah, the rice of sipritias and shrine, and in terms of the hashkafa content. This is where the ikar limud and amuna is from the ikar sipritias and shrine, which is a rabbi ovid avi, and pesach and matzamar. That's the core axis of sipritias and shrine. There's a lot to think about. The haggadah is also for little kids, but it's certainly not only. The great Tanoim who were gathered in Bnei Brak, in Rav Akiva's shtot, they had plenty of halachic wisdom and plenty of hashkafic depth. And they had a whole night's worth of things to talk about. There's plenty for us to dig in as a young, maturing adult, but it begins tapping into the nuance and the depth and the sophistication that we could not have tapped into just a couple of years ago before our minds were more sophisticated and matured. So the first step in tapping into the things that we couldn't have tapped into earlier is to actually look at things with open eyes and to actually ask questions. And the Vilna Gaon was opposed to the minhag that Rama quotes of reciting the part of Magid on Shabbat HaGadol, because the Vilna Gaon said, you can't say it's a din. It says Beferish in the Haggadah, that the only mitzvah of a Sipratias Mitzrayim is Leil Tazvav. But at the same time, you can't say it's like a formalized, you must recite the Haggadah this time. There's a transmit of value at some point. It doesn't have to be any particular time you have to say the words out loud. But to open a Haggadah, in addition to all the preparation that you are no doubt, hopefully, helping out with at home. There's plenty of physical preparation to do. Some of you told me you've been helping at home. Some of you are on Zoom. Told me that until you got quarantined, you were helping to schlep. Ashreichem, there's plenty of physical preparation to do. Imagine if your parents did not have to remind you to get your bedroom ready for Pesach. Imagine that for just a moment. And the next time it came to your mind, you said, it's done. Sure, come on in. Done. Imagine that. Right? At the same time, there's physical preparation, which absolutely should be done, both from a Maseches Pesachim perspective and from a Maseches Kiddushin, as in Kibbutz Avim perspective. There's also spiritual, emotional, intellectual preparation to be done as well. And to take out a Haggadah in advance and to actually learn the Haggadah, like try to figure things out when you're not in a rush in advance. A dress rehearsal. It'll vastly, vastly, vastly add. And to look at like a London, to look at that God in a way that you could not have done just a few years ago, it'll add so much to your capacity to grow as an Eved Hashem from Sipri Tzias Mitzrayim, from Leil HaSeder. Mitchell, next time we'll complete this piece and we'll see how he puts all the pieces together. He's going to address that question with a thanging of what's with Chametz being 7 days opposed to matzah being 1 day, is once you develop these ideas, it becomes clear how the two hang together and how there's supposed to be growth and process over the course of Pesach. He says it has an important lesson for us in terms of how a Jew grows and how to strategize for growth. We'll pick up with that mitzvah next time.